Good morning. It's good to see you. Appreciate that we have an opportunity to continue worshiping together, and I invite you to continue to keep your Bible open. We'll come back to John 5 in just a little bit. Welcome the visitors that we have. We appreciate that you're among us, and we hope that you can come and join us again tonight at 6 o'clock when we meet, and on Wednesday nights also at 7. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to especially let you know that this lesson is for you, but not just you, it's for all of us. But there's a message in this lesson that we hope that you'll listen to very carefully. And that is that there is a Zion's call that you need to respond to, that you need to answer, and you need to become a Christian. You need to be saved from your sins. And that salvation is available 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. It's available right now. And we hope that now will be the day that you decide no longer to put the Lord off, but to, with a repentant heart, a heart that has changed its attitude toward sin and toward God, repenting of your sin, that you will confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, thus answering God's call to then walk in newness of life and be saved from your sins and be a Christian now, that you might have an inheritance in heaven when this life is no more and we're raised in that great day that's yet to come. As God's people, we should continue to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And so we encourage you, if you're in need of repentance in your life, that you do that today as well. That you change your heart and repent of your sin before God as a Christian. Confess it to Him in prayer, and He has assured His forgiveness. If we can pray with you about that, we can encourage you toward that end. We want to do that as well and offer the invitation to you too when this lesson is over. When I was growing up, we had a party line on the telephone. When the phone rang, we listened to see if it was for us. And so we answered it. Today, we get our cell phone, and what do you do when the phone rings? What do? You look to see who's calling, don't you? Yeah. You look to see who's calling, and you may or may not answer it. Yeah, right? Let's be honest. We may or may not answer it. Well, that's how times have changed through the years. But we want to talk about some calls this morning that happen in life. That we three of them really, we're going to all answer at one time or the other. But there's another call, Zion's call, that we sang about, that is the most important of all. And whether or not we answer that fourth call, that the Zion's call, is going to depend on whether, or is going to shape whether or not these other calls bring us joy or sorrow, pain or relief, despair or eternal joy. Let's talk about the calls of life for a moment. And this very basic lesson this morning, one we need to keep before us, and that is death's call. We're going to all answer death's call. Some of our loved ones have already answered that call. And as long as we have life and until Jesus returns, one day we're going to answer the call. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. If you have not given thought to your own death, you need to. We all need to think about not just death in some abstract way. We need to think about our own death. That we will die one day. Now, you know, we do many things to extend our life. But the reality is there is a time to die. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 says, as Solomon said, to everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. So we will die. And we ought to give attention to that reality for ourselves, our own death. Have you thought about your own death? Now, I'm not talking about your funeral. I'm not talking about things that you want done and how you want your inheritance distributed and all that, and things that you leave here on the earth. I'm talking about the separation of your spirit from your body and all that will be affected after that. The reality is, have you thought about the fact that you're not going to be on this earth for very much longer. At very best, even if you're 10 years old right now, or 15 years old right now, you will not be on this earth a very long time. It may seem like forever to you, but rest assured, it is not and it will not be. And so it's important to think about death. You know, whether you're a fool or whether you're wise, Solomon said the same event happens to us all. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 14. And that's why I believe he says in chapter 7 and verse 2, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. Now, just pointed out to me a day or two ago that, you know, and this is not all a wrong thing. I'm just saying the reality is, you know, now funerals are a celebration. You ever hear about people talk about a celebration of life? But in that celebration of a person's life, we need to remember that person's now dead. There's a death has happened. He describes it as the house of mourning. Things aren't going to continue always as they are at this moment in my life or your life. One of the songs we sing talks about finishing our final war with pain. You see, the outcome of the pain is eventually death. And it's a sobering reality. And it's a call we're going to answer. We're not going to be able to look at our cell phone and say, "Oh, I don't want that call," and push the red button, you know, push it so it doesn't ring anymore. I'll listen to the message later. No, we're not going to be able to do that with death. James 4 and verse 14 says that we are a vapor. Our life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. The reality of death is all around us. By the way, it's around us, you know, this is spring, and so we have to see a lot of signs of life, but soon it'll be fall again and winter, and we see things die outside. There's a season to be born, a season to die. You see, death doesn't have to be fearful. Some people don't think about death because they're afraid of death. They don't want to think about it, as if not thinking about it is going to keep it from happening. But you see, the death death's power of fear and its bondage of sin is something that's held over those who are lost. It's the lost who fear death. The Christian doesn't have to fear death. That doesn't mean we're doing high fives about to die, but because surely it's a change. But you see, there's a reason. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's the one who's lost that has reason to be afraid of death, because they're still held in the bondage of sin. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, the writer said, "Inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." That is, Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh and blood. He became human. "That through death," that is, through his death, "he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil. So by the death of Jesus, he destroys the devil, the one who uses the power of death over men and women. And furthermore, by his death, by the death of Jesus, he releases those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, when we're bound in sin, we ought to be afraid of death, because the result of that is going to be eternal punishment. Eternal separation from God. Death has power over those who are lost. But Paul said it's gained to him. It was gained to him. It's gained to us. You see, death becomes a release and a relief for those who live by faith, for those who obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. But I'm hard pressed between the two, for I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul said, if I live, I'm going to bear fruit to God. I'm going to serve you. But if if I die, then it's going to be a benefit to me. It's going to be a gain. You see, death becomes our release from sin's temptations, from sin's sorrow, from all of the ill effects that this world brings upon us because of sin and its consequences. Because we've been freed from that. And we don't live for this world. And we don't live in fear of dying. Because we're preparing. You see, the person who has reason to fear death is the person who's not ready to die. The person who's not prepared. In Luke 12, 15 through 21, Jesus taught a parable as the man said, "Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Who made me a judge over you, an arbiter over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." When we think about our death, we start realizing the things we own really don't mean anything. The things we possess are not all that important. When we really start pondering death's call. He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, 'What shall I do? I have no room to store my crops.' He said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater barns. And there I'll store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' Many goods, many years, much merry. But God said, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things, whose will those things be which you prepared or which you provided?'" Who's going to have that now? You're going to die and you're not going to take it with you. "So is he," Jesus said, "so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." See, when we lay up treasure for ourselves, we're not thinking about death. Not really. We're not preparing to die. Because you see, if we're preparing to die, then we understand that what we possess, we're not going to take with us. And so, rather than be covetous about things, we're to be generous. We're to be using those things to further righteousness and goodness and kindness. You've got to prepare for death. You see, you're going to answer the call. Are you getting ready? Are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, you're not getting ready to die. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not ready. You can get ready. Today, you can get ready. But more on that in a minute. We're going to all answer the resurrection call also. A call to be raised from the dead. This is going to be a call that affirms that Christ Himself was raised from the dead. And that our life in Christ, our discipleship, our Christianity has not been in vain. 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse 16. The apostle said, "If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins." Some major consequences if Christ was not raised from the dead. Our faith is vain. You're still a sinner, lost in your sin. Then also those who've fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Christians who have died have just perished. If in this life only we hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. He's the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. And one day we're going to hear that call. The phone's going to ring, as it were. And we're not going to be able to look at our phone and say, "Oh, I'll take that later." No. See, Jesus was the start of that resurrection, and through Him and because of Him, all the dead are going to be resurrected. All who have died will be, there'll be a bodily resurrection from the dead. Job had said, "If a man dies, will he live again?" And the gospel, of course, teaches us, yes, we will live again. We will be raised from the dead. in John 5, 28 and 29 in the reading this morning. Look at that verse with me. Let's ponder it for just a moment concerning the call, the resurrection call. In John, first of all, he says in 24, if you hear my word and believe in him who sent me, you have eternal life. So now he's talking about spiritual life there, isn't he? In verse 25 and 26, he's talking about spiritual life. Now the hour now is that the dead, that is the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So you're dead in sin, but you hear the voice of the Son of God, you hear His Word, and you can live. The Father has life in Himself, and He's granted the Son to have life in Himself. The Son gives life. That's exactly the point being made from Acts 4 that Steve shared with us this morning. By the name of Jesus Christ, that lame man walked, and that demonstrated that Jesus has life in Himself to help us walk with God, to lift us out of the depth of sin, to save us. In none other is there salvation. So that's what he's talking about there through 26. But now, in verse 27, he's given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Now, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. It's not here yet. Verse 5, the hour of spiritual life is already here. But now there's another hour coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. He says all are going to hear His voice in that hour. It's coming. It hasn't arrived yet. Because you see, those who are in the graves, those who've died, are going to hear His voice and are going to come forth, going to come out of the grave. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22 is talking about when he said Christ is the first fruits. He's the beginning of that. You want a picture of our resurrection from the dead? Look at the resurrection of Jesus. His body was put in a tomb, He was dead, and then He was raised from the dead. He's the start of resurrection. As since by man came death, that's Adam, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 21. By man, that is by Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There's physical death as a result of Adam. We return to dust. But that dust is going to be resurrected. In Christ all will be made alive. He's talking about bodily death. The physical death and the bodily resurrection from the dead. That's the resurrection call we're going to all answer. Doesn't matter if you're buried in the sea. Doesn't matter if your ashes are strewn over the mountaintops. Now you go back to that verse and you see even though all are going to be raised, not all are going to be saved. The resurrection will be one of the just and the unjust. A resurrection of the just and unjust, Acts 24:15. Just because everyone's raised from the dead doesn't mean everyone's going to be saved. Right? And we'll see that more in just a moment. But it is victory over sin and death that the Christian experiences at this resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, when this corruptible body that's put in the ground and decays is resurrected from the dead and given an incorruptible body. And this mortal flesh has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, or O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. See, we said a minute ago, the fear of death, what gives death its pain is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law identified sin to be sinful and us to be dead in sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over sin and victory over death is in Jesus. Now those who don't take His victory over sin are still going to be raised from the dead, but it'll be a resurrection unto condemnation. John 5, 29. Is that what you want to be raised to, is condemnation? Or do you want to be raised unto life? You see, that's going to be a choice that we make. Let's go again to John 11, 23 through 25. Martha is talking with the Lord because 4 days before then, her brother Lazarus had died. Jesus has now come to her, to that place, and Jesus tells her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She had an understanding of resurrection at the last day, the very thing we're talking about here. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Now there's bodily resurrection. There's the resurrection at the last day. And it's going to be the resurrection that he miraculously effects upon Lazarus. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But then he goes on to say, in verse 26, he talks about spiritual life. "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Well, we've already seen we're going to die in the flesh. It's appointed unto us to die. He's talking about spiritual life in verse 26. He says, "You live and believe in me, and you'll never die. You'll have life eternal." There is going to be a resurrection of the body from the dead. Jesus affirmed that. He said, haven't you read what God said when He said, "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And He said this concerning the resurrection of the dead. Matthew 22, 31 and 32. So Jesus affirmed that we will be raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit explains it in detail. 1 Corinthians 15. It's a great chapter on teaching us about the bodily resurrection from the dead, beginning in verse 35 and continuing. He says, surely people, you're going to say, well, with what kind of body do we come? What kind of body are we going to have when we're resurrected? You know, I think a lot of times we have this idea and concept that it's just going to be spirits floating around. The body is going to be resurrected. It's going to be an immortal body. We have mortal bodies right now. But you see, the body is going to be resurrected. And he explains that beginning in verse 35. And he says, first you have the natural body. That's what we have right now. But you see, we're going to have a spiritual body. A body that is fit for the spiritual realm. Okay? So the body is going to be raised. We're going to answer that call. And we're not going to be able to put it on hold. We're not going to be able to say, "Oh, I'll listen to the message and call back later." Jesus said, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth." Are you prepared after you die to have a resurrection unto life? Or will it be a resurrection to condemnation? That leads to the third call, you see, because there's a judgment call. After death is judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. We die, there's resurrection from the dead, and there's judgment. And that's a call to accountability. You know, a lot of people try to live without being accountable in this world. It's try to escape accountability. I saw something the other day of this young woman who, she had 17 credit cards. She maxed them all out and went to another. Maxed one out and went to another. Maxed it all out and went to another. No accountability. But you see, the judgment call is going to be a call of accountability. We're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an answer for ourselves and our lives here on earth. Romans 14:10 says, "Why do you judge your brother? And why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, you see, the problem in Romans 14 is they were judging and condemning one another for authorized liberties, over authorized liberties. And he said, we'll give account to God. So stop the judging, stop the showing of contempt concerning those matters that are allowed by God. You have a conscience about one way or the other. Because the underlying premise is We're going to stand before His judgment seat. We're going to get answer to Him about those things and about all of our life, our whole life. We're going to answer. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul said, that we may receive the things done in the body according to what we've done, whether good or bad. We will stand in judgment before Jesus. And we will answer to Jesus for the choices we've made in our lives. Now again, I ask, have you thought about that? Do we think about our death and our resurrection and standing before Jesus? Because you see, it's not just about what would Jesus do, it's about what are you going to tell Jesus about what you did? You see, we're going to give account for ourselves to Him. And that's a call we're not going to be able to put on hold or say, I'll take that later. Amos warns from the Old Testament, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Amos 4 and verse 12, we sing the song. Careless soul, why will you linger? Wandering from the fold of God. Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet your God. Meet thy God. You see, that's from Amos 4 and verse 12. God had sent rebuke upon rebuke in the form of plagues and wars and pestilence, and they would not turn back to Him until finally He said, the judgment is going to come with full force upon you. Are you ready for the judgment call? It's going to be a judgment that's according to truth. It's going to be a righteous judgment. It's going to be an impartial judgment. Romans 2, 1 through 11. We're not going to stand before a judge who has a political agenda. We're not going to stand before a judge who wonders what truth is or is unjust and unrighteous. We're going to be before Jesus. And so Paul says, the judgment of God is according to truth, Romans 2 and verse 2, and that it's a righteous judgment, verse 5, and He's going to render to everyone according to his deeds, impartially, verse 6 and verse 11. So the choice becomes ours then, verse 7 and verse 10, are we going to receive mercy and kindness and glory and God's peace because we've done good? Or are we going to receive wrath and tribulation and anguish because we've not obeyed the truth, verse 8 and verse 9. I mean, the judgment is coming. And it's going to judge our lives. That's sobering. And it ought to persuade us to get ready. It ought to persuade us that we're not going to be able to live a life that ignores God, puts God off, disobeys God, serves ourselves, satisfies our wishes rather than His, but in the day of judgment, hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. In the day of judgment, expect heaven to be and heaven's doors to be thrown open wide. It's just not going to happen. What we need to do to get ready for the judgment is repent and submit to God. Acts 17, 30 and 31, the apostle said to the men in Athens, these times of ignorance God overlooked. That is, He did not immediately bring His judgment, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And God has appointed, God has a purpose. He's purposed a day of judgment. And it's going to be a judgment that is righteous, and it's going to be according to Jesus by the man whom He has ordained. God has set Jesus in place to be the judge. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. The judgment seat of Christ. And He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. If you believe Jesus was raised from the dead, you must believe in a day of judgment. And the way we get ready for that day of judgment is to repent of our sins, to be forgiven of those sins, to submit to God, and His will. In 1 Peter 4, 17 through 19, Peter talks about judgment beginning in the house of God. And it's an important verse, I think, in this respect. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." We need to make judgments now in the house of God. We need to judge ourselves now according to God's Word. We need to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith now. Look, he says, if judgment begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? What's going to happen if you're not obedient? Well, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? The question is answered by asking it. The sinner will not appear in salvation. The sinner will appear in condemnation. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. Just as we would deposit our money to a banker for safekeeping, to a bank to keep it safe, put it maybe in a safe deposit box. We take our precious things and put it in a safe deposit box. He says, commit your soul to God for safekeeping. But you do that, here's how you do that, in doing good. The way we commit our soul to God is to do good. That is, to follow His will. We're not committing our soul to God if we say, "Oh, I'm saved, I'm a sinner, God has saved me, but then I live in sin." I haven't committed my soul to God. And the judgment day will show that. So what we need to do is bring ourselves under God's judgment now. Live according to His Word now to escape the future judgment. Thing is, you see, Jesus warns us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The day of judgment is coming, and we must make our call and election sure by being diligent in our spiritual development and growth and maturity so that our entrance into the eternal kingdom is certain. Peter said, 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. There is a judgment call. We're going to answer that call. Now, you see, there's Zion's call. There's the gospel call. And that's a call to be saved from our sins. And God is the one making the call. Acts 2 and 39. Look at this. It's God's call. When we preach this gospel to you this morning, when we extend this call to you, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He's calling through His gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. He's calling us to sanctification and belief in the truth, unto glory, salvation from our sins. Look at 2 Thessalonians. He says there in chapter 2, 13 and 14, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." God uses the gospel to call you to glory. He's purposed, He's chosen us for salvation and sanctification. But we have to answer the call. God has chosen to save us in Christ, but we've got to answer the call. And you see, this is the problem. We see the gospel call on our cell phone and we push the button and say, "I'll deal with that later." And we may even listen to the message. Listen to the voice message that's left. We know what the message says. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be a Christian. But we put that aside and don't respond. See, God is calling us out of darkness, but we've got to want to come out of darkness into His marvelous light, don't we? 1 Peter 2, 9. He's calling us into the fellowship of His Son, 1 Corinthians 1, 9. But we've got to want to be with the Son. Too often, the call's out there, but we say, "No, I'll deal with that call later." But the problem is, you see, We have to hear and obey the word of Jesus, and it's not going to be forced on us. It's simply not going to be forced on us. We need to listen to Jesus' words. He says to believe and repent and confess and to be baptized and to be faithful to Him. This is His call. How to be saved from your sin. But you see, it's going to be a voluntary answer. God's not going to force you to be saved. And He's not going to give you false hope that you are saved when you don't answer His call to be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Acts 2:21. And in Acts 2:40, with many other words He exhorted and testified, saying, save yourselves or be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. So, God is calling, verse 39, whoever calls on God will be saved. And about 3,000 were saved because they gladly received His word and were baptized. That's how you answer the call. You believe the word, you repent, and you are baptized. Whoever desires may come. Revelation 22:17. He's not going to force you. You got to desire it. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Do you desire salvation? Do you desire to come to Jesus? Well, are you answering His call or not? You'll have an answer for that when you see whether or not you're going to answer God's call. Because if you're not answering God's call, you don't yet desire to follow Him. And you don't yet desire to have eternal life with Him. And the question is, why not? Death is coming. You're going to be raised from the dead. And you're going to have a judgment. You're going to answer those calls. So why refuse to answer the one call that gets you ready for all the other three? You see? The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect that call. He's going to render vengeance to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. Why neglect? Yes, we have a choice. But we dare not neglect this call. It is to our eternal ruin to do so. Yes, we're going to answer death's call. We're going to answer the resurrection call. We're going to answer the call to judgment. But you see, whether or not we answer the gospel call is going to decide whether answering these calls is going to be to eternal life or eternal destruction. Won't you answer the gospel call? You hear Him calling. He's calling right now. He's calling through His word right now. Be saved from your sin. Turn to Jesus. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Be a Christian. Will you answer Him? Will you receive the word and be baptized? We urge you to do so because death is coming. Resurrection is certain, and there'll be a day of judgment that we'll all give account for how we've lived, and it will be either unto life or unto condemnation. Answer God's call. All together we stand while we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calling.